Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Alright, yeah, so not much to say. Yeah, really haven't come up with any strategy in terms of finding a way to convert the agenda, the message, into some kind of, you know, mix it by some formula, okay? Car chase, then a little bit of dialogue, a little bit of a love scene, you know, a little formula, you know, to make it more persuasive, useful, you know, what's the right word to use? Pointed, you know, just the whole idea that it's more effective. There you go. Effective is the word I was looking for. Yeah, because I don't like being ineffective, you know, so. And it's not good for the cause, you know, being ineffective sucks. So if you care about something and everything you do is just failing to protect it and preserve it from harm, yeah, you're going to feel pretty shitty. It's like losing a war or something, you know, bad feeling. you know, Hitler, you know, lost the war and got really butthurt about it. You know, so it's not good for your psychology to be a loser. So, no, I'm frankly above all that crap, but, you know, still, I'm still human. Still most. Probably some part of me probably still is. And that's sort of what I've been thinking about for the last couple of days, is just how distant I am. And I've always been. I mean, I frankly, you know, I've never really got the what people find interesting, let's just say, what they invest in. Okay, I mean, all the money spent on sports, and, you know, it's all so tacky and soap opera is what I call it, and that's all it is. You could, you know, when I was watching sports, I could feel myself being a dupe and a fool for giving a shit, because there was nothing to give a shit about. And it was just a psychological thing where I had created a little hero and wanted him to, you know, save the day, and you know, you wanted to see it happen, and it was, you know, break the record, do this, and, you know, it was just bullshit. So trivial and, you know, ew. You know, just humiliating to realize you can be manipulated, you know, by that kind of psychological garbage. But anyway, I was video games did the same thing. I mean, you get caught up in it, and you think there's something real, you know, and in terms of, you know, oh, it's a challenge, and yeah, you have to see if you can beat your time and, you know, do it faster and solve the puzzle, and there must be a shortcut, and I'm going to find it, and, you know, I mean, I could feel my psychology being controlled, and with this idea that I need to do this, and, you know, I want to do this, I enjoy doing this, and feeling, you know, yeah, you know, gee, I am being textbook, you know, played with, manipulated, you know, and so, I mean, I, you know, that's part of life, and that's unfortunately where most people still are. They don't sort of mature with their life and feel those humiliations and realize how much time they invested in crap and feel stupid about it. And then realize, yeah, well, life is pretty stupid because, you know, this is all you end up with is some silly story that is your life, and most of it is learning lessons. And frankly, the lessons are so ABC 1, 2, 3 that, again, it's just kind of embarrassing that it takes you 50 or 60 or 70 years to figure out. You've just been manipulated psychologically your whole life. And, you really haven't rationally done anything, that everything has been a rationalization of some psychology problem, that you haven't really thought about what you should be doing and doing that, and instead you've been doing the other crap. And again, I'm still stuck in that, so again, that's why I'm not, I'm not completely Vulcan. I've taken the training course, but it's it's hard to break the, what's the right word for it? I think if you're, if it's the kind of thing like a language, if we learn it when we're young, it's really easy to be Vulcan. And if you learn to be an asshole, then it's really easy to be an asshole. And I guess that's all part of it, is habit, and that we're all stuck in the habit of being whoever you are. And it's hard to become some other kind of addict, which isn't just better, obviously, not desirable. So, all right. So, pause already, just for the fun of it. All right, should be back. All right. So, drama is what popped into my head. Is just the whole. It used to be a thing on the internet, but it was just a drama whore, and it was just about the controversies and conflicts between people, and people would just show up to watch a fight, And so that is on my mind because I, overheard some news conversation about some Netflix thing with Mike Tyson and some other guy doing some sort of fighting thing. It's just like... and there was so there was just so many people that tuned in, and the whole internet crashed and blah blah blah, and it's really depressing. It's, my brain sort of says that all this stuff is sort of dying, the whole sports thing, and it really isn't, I guess. I guess it was, and now it isn't again. And it's even this worse form of it, where it's just so obviously crass and ugly, where people are just showing up for the blood, and it's, you're just saying, oh, okay. And even that works on the internet, just being controversial for the hell of it, just be an asshole, say outrageous things, and then have other people fight and call you names, and this is all a thing on the internet. So it's all kind of depressing that, there's real things, to argue about, and now everybody's arguing about crap that doesn't matter. That's part of the distance between my brain and what it's doing and what other people's brains are doing, and I have to somehow be interesting to them, and somehow make these arguments that'll somehow resonate in their little brains, and make sense in terms of recognizing futility, the fact that you're not going to win in the end, that you already know the ending of the movie, and it sucks. Some movies are really watchable. You can watch them over and over again because the good guys win. And in some movies, you just can't watch because, I know how that turns out, and it sucks. So, you're going to watch it because, the hero dies, and all the people that lived were assholes. And so it sucks. That kind of thing. and that's what life is. It's, it's a poorly written movie. It never, the hero never survives. And, you're, it's, it's almost ludicrous in the way it turns out in terms of all the back-ass-wordness, you know. And so I was thinking before, you know, when I wasn't making a video, and just, you know, the stuff occurred to me, like, you know, half the people that die in war are done a huge favor, because if they would have lived, they would have had a divorce and all kinds of trouble and alcoholism, and then they would have died horribly of cancer or something. And instead, they got hit by a bomb or a bullet, and it was over in a few seconds, if not less. And they never even knew what hit them, so to speak. But the downside is for every one of those, you know, there's a bunch of people half injured and, you know, that have to go through a really horrible, awful experience, and then die anyway. You know, just do it very slowly and badly. And so for them, it wasn't profitable. Yeah, right. Now, whether we lose more good guys than bad guys, yeah, who knows, right? I mean, we're so bad by nature that we have so much to overcome in terms of just our blood footprint from being just a regular, you know, hamburger, hot dog eater, if you're one of those still. Your life is already, your Dorian Gray portrait, you know, in the closet is already pretty ugly in terms of how much harm you may have done in your stupid little life without even trying, you know, with even doing good things, you were nasty. Kind of like feeding the starving for a day, you know, or a week or a month, you know, it's almost cruel, you know, because you're just putting off you're just keeping them barely alive, kind of thing, you know, in a suspended torment. You know, it's like you could have some fatal injury and they could just keep you alive in that condition for a very long time. And, you know, a lot of people can figure out that, you know, there's no profit in that. I just get it over with. I mean, if it's all going to end anyway, I'm going to lose, let's get it over with. Let's not do it in this, you know, pulling one hair at a time, kind of thing. So, it's just a weird time for me personally, because I'm thinking more about how to, and recognizing that it's hard to come up with a good strategy that isn't dirty and tainted in terms of, you know, all you want is the end product, and you want to get there efficiently, and it's always this, you know, is it better to get it over with? So that came up in some other conversation that somebody was having somewhere. Oh, yes, it was Elon Musk, you know, defending his self-driving cars with the rationalization that, well, if a few hundred people got killed now, the technology is going to save so many people in the future that it's okay. And there's a grain of truth, okay, in that, but it's so self-serving that it makes it an ugly grain of truth. I mean, if the grain of truth was that eventually we're going to be more organized and we're not going to just have, you know, a system of chaos on roads, you know, in terms of, you know, yes, it would be truly automized in some sort of really well-constructed way. It's like railways have gotten, you know, as much as there still is train wrecks, I mean, the whole engineering of trains is kind of an interesting subject because of how they weld them now, and, you know, there's not a bunch of, you know, connections between the rails. The rails are continuous. Lots of different things they've changed. Anyway, and, you know, we haven't done any of that in terms of highways except for putting a little, whatever, those little drunk lumps in the road, you know, wake you up, you know. When you have to do that, when your technology is saying, well, let's wake people up, you know, it's pretty far behind some sort of system that's going to guarantee that cars don't crash into each other or into other things. But anyway, the point is that, you know, there's a truth. I could argue that, you know, if you killed 1 million people, but you cured malaria, you know, there's a good argument to be made that, well, that was hugely profitable. You know, so you know, it gets very ugly, because you can talk about curing diseases by doing experiments on animals, and you can make these rationalizations that it's all okay because the benefits gained justify the torture imposed. Now, obviously, I would say in an absolute sense it doesn't. It's just pointing out how expensive our existence is, and all you're saying is I'm going to reduce some of the stupid waste that we create, and therefore I made a profit. When no, you just took away waste. You didn't, reducing how bad your crime is doesn't make you not still a criminal. Doesn't still make you way behind. Okay, so I mean, reducing your blood footprint, okay, that's good, but you don't pretend that that's good enough. And now you've justified your existence because, no, you're still in debt, kind of thing. All right. So anyway, that's part of what I was thinking about. You know, part of it. It's discouraging just to realize, again, how detached I am from being one of you, you know, in terms of being able to be caught up in all of this bullshit that, you know, that seems so redundant. It's like even getting into an argument about let's argue about abortion or some stupid subject, and you're saying, well, haven't we done this over and over again? And the subject doesn't have anything to do with reason and, you know, evidence and arguments that make any sense. It just has to do with some kind of bullshit where people become, you know, have a fetus fetish and pretend it's some sort of magical organism when it's, you know, it's no better than, certainly no better than the pig you ate in terms of being a feeling, you know, eye blinking organism worth worrying about. And so it's kind of ridiculous to have a conversation about freeing the fetuses, you know, when you're putting organisms that are 100 times more aware and sentient and capable of being harmed, you're eating them. You know, that's pretty disgusting. So anyway, that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, who can do that over and over again? You know, with any kind of enthusiasm anyway. Yeah, I apparently can't. All right, back. So I was just thinking, I'm supposed to be making these arguments that I've made over and over again about how, you know, the story is really just about evolution. We're still just kind of fancier versions of a bug. It's the same physical mechanism anyway as a bug. You know, it's just consumption to reproduce, you know, lay eggs and die. And, you know, hope that your little mutant children, and they're supposed to be actual mutants, are somehow better, you know, in some silly way than the other mutants, and they survive, and then somehow your genetic heritage, you know, lives on in some kind of perverse way, blah, blah, blah. Some kind of silly story like that, and I'm just, you know, the obligation is to point out it's just insanely wasteful because, you know, you kill, destroy, create a huge number of losers, you know, for a tiny number of winners, okay, and who really wants to be the winner? It doesn't look like everything turns out just fine for them either. So, why bother? Anyway. But there's then all this other stuff that's happening at the same time, the swirl of of bullshit and you know, and it's all interesting, you know, in terms of these are all valid subjects about you know, how do we get from where we are to some better future, and the arguments you could be made about how, you know, what we should be doing in the world to make it a better place, in terms of people being more elegant in how they live, if that's a concept, more efficient, more graceful. You know, if all we're going to do is sing and dance, we're going to be singing a good song and dancing a good dance. But then for some people, that'll be break dancing and rap music, you know, and sorry, no sale here. So again, it all turns into subjective mush. And it really doesn't have anything to do with reasoning and any of that stuff. But there is this, you know, there are these subjects where you just say, oh, none of this is going to work. And what are they going to do when it stops working? So the whole immigration thing, I've been quite against. I don't know why the Liberal Party decided all of a sudden it was a great idea to drive wages into the toilet and, you know, create idiocracy, you know, just import people who really aren't going to, they're neither going to assimilate, okay, nor are they going to in some way take their GED, okay, they're not even going to bother learning your language, so don't pretend that's going to work. And so your culture is just going to turn into their culture. You know, they're just going to, you know, inject the same bad habits into your national parks, so to speak, and turn it all into shit, like they did their own shithole out of the bad cultural habits, right? I mean, this whole idea of just having kids without any kind of thought about implications and, you know, how you're going to divvy up your assets to take care of all your kids when you're not, and they're all doing it in some backward notion of somehow kids are a Social Security policy, and now, you know, I'm buying them like I'm buying lottery tickets, like one of them might be a winner, you know, and I can siphon shit off of it. I mean, it's all quite crass and disgusting. And so impractical, because, you know, anybody who thinks about it for a tiny little bit of amount of time can figure out it takes a lot of work to build a human being. It's, you know, it's a very difficult, subtly dangerous job, you know, trying to keep a kid from being a kook and an asshole, and all that shit. And, you know, over, you know, you don't want to push too hard, but you don't want to let the damn thing, you know, you know, it's really difficult to steer somebody else's car, so to speak. And especially in a world that's fighting you in the sense that it has a bunch of memes and seductions, you know, that it's going to be hard to say, well, don't eat the chocolate, it's not good for you. You know, kind of crap. But anyway, yeah, I just really don't want to do political stuff. But, I'll just make a prediction, okay? I don't think Trump is going to stay president, so he's going to hand it off to Vice President, whoever it is. You know, so that's a, you know, it's all part of the joke, is these vice presidents have no business being where they are. But anyway, and, you know, because he doesn't want to get killed, you know, is the first thing you're going to say is that he's almost got killed twice. So he knows, that the system really isn't going to all of a sudden be better. They're not going to fix, you know, this problem tomorrow, because it's a real problem, especially because of Trump's habits of liking to go to different places and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's hard to create security for all that. If he went fishing in the same hole every day or went golfing on the same course, well, that would be something. But he doesn't like to do that. So, you know, security is a real problem. So he just ran for president to prove the point that he can get away with anything, that he can do anything, that he can beat anybody, because he inherited daddy's money. And that's all that matters. You have enough money or enough, you have leverage. That's all he has. He has leverage. Even when he's bankrupt, he has leverage because nobody can drive him to bankruptcy because then they don't get anything back. And so he can just extort them. And he's proud of it. He's proud to say, I borrowed money, didn't pay it back, and there was nothing they could do about it. You know, because if they force me to go bankrupt, they're not going to get anything. And I can pay them a little bit, and so they'll get something. You know, that kind of horse shit. But anyway, I mean, all the... there's just no point in going through all that crap of all the stupid things. But anyway, this whole immigration argument. So we've already lived with it for whatever it is, a decade of this idiotic, not overtly open borders, but clearly loose borders. And clearly Republicans wanted it that way also, because they were aggressively against, employer sanctions. So that's the irony. There was a time when employer sanctions were going to be imposed, and this was really a solution to the whole thing. Everybody has a Social Security number. You're going to make those things mean something. Be a real crime to fake it and all that kind of stuff. So you wouldn't be employable without, being a citizen. And that was doable. And the Republicans didn't want to do that because that was too onerous, for the businesses. But it really wasn't onerous. It was just mean that you couldn't get cheap labor anymore. And that's all it meant to the Republicans. But anyway, and so somehow the roles reversed and the Democrats became pro-immigration. And it did exactly what the Republicans... They use the Republican tactic of, yes, this is very good for the economy. Look, it booms. Labor costs go down, inflation goes down, and the demand from housing goes way up. So everybody who owns any kind of equity in their house, they start profiting and liking that. And that's exactly 2011 all over again. Well, 2008, whenever it started. So they're just stepping into exactly the same trap, where, you've created this insane inflation in the asset values and they can't keep going up. Okay, so somebody's going to have to own the property that goes down. And that's, you're just waiting for that disaster. And all of that ownership is in the hands of the super rich. They're the ones who own all of the banking assets, technically. And so it's really all their profit and their money that's creating, financing all the debt. And it's all debt. People don't really own their house. They're just renting it, frankly. I mean, the mortgages are, in some ways... You used to have to pay, 2 months in advance and, security deposit. And, now down payments on houses are, by percentage of what the house costs, it's not even close to being that onerous. And so there's just a ton of people owning houses that they don't really own. And so all of those assets will not. There's going to be a day when the house sold for the high price, and the next time it sells, it's going to be for the low price. And the low price isn't going to cover the actual amount of equity the person has in the house. And so the banks are going to lose a ton of money all over again. It's the same damn thing. They've just done exactly the same thing they did before. And the only way they got out of it before was to ruin FDIC insurance. So there really isn't any FDIC insurance. Okay, they've insured $7 trillion with $100 billion. So you can sort of understand that's not going to work. The insurance money is going to run out so fast that there is no insurance. So the run on the bank is a real, it's an inevitability. It's not a possibility. It's inevitable that there'll be a point where the government has to step in and say, you can't have your money. Not today, because we don't have it. and it's just going to be a fact. And the only way they can have it is to print it, and that would be a, that would be Germany all over again, blah, blah, blah. So, hyperinflation. So they're really in a, it's going to get ugly. Because if Trump is actually, so that's the catch. The Republicans sort of lie that they don't want immigration. They want immigration. They just wanted to, ideally everybody would want the same immigration. They'd want all the smart people from all the countries to come here. But frankly, this isn't the best place to come. it's not the most cultured and sophisticated and wealthy country in the world anymore per individual. And so it's not the place to be, maybe. I'm just as if they fulfill their promise of, let's say, stopping the immigration or reversing it even, sending people out of the country if he's going to deport a million people or whatever the number's going to be, then all of a sudden all this housing energy goes away, and that's when it all crashes. Because, you're just basically saying that there's going to be a lot more empty buildings, a lot more empty apartments, a lot more empty rentals, a lot more blah, blah, blah. And but they're already there now, because the price of an average house here is about twice as much as it would cost to actually just buy a lot somewhere and build your own house. I mean, it's really exaggerated. And, it's the only thing keeping it, fueling it, is the fact that population's increasing. And if you stop immigration, population won't increase. Now, it will to some extent, I guess, because you're already sent in so many people that have way too many kids, but it's not going to be good enough, because they're not going to be productive enough. Just the truth. They're not going to be able to pay the high prices. So anyway, something like that. So, sorry. Just thought I'd throw it in just as a... So I'm just saying it's something to look for, in the sense that I don't think... Like I said, I think as soon as the stock market sees that writing on the wall, oh, he's actually deporting people, I think, you're going to watch the problem be realized, that there's going to be a bit of a crisis in terms of both the housing market and the ability to buy. Because, wages will go up. And prices will go up, but prices will go up more than wages will go up, kind of thing. All right, anyway. It doesn't really, I guess everything in some respects is already so broken that you're saying, how could you fix it? I mean, there's probably not a judge anywhere in this country that's, in my opinion, a respectable person. They're all scum, politically motivated, unethical crooks, even. And that's when you lose all... I mean, your civilization has little hope if there's no place to go for justice. And there really isn't. I mean, it doesn't matter how right you are. It matters on what judge you get. That's all that matters. The decision will be decided by the judge you get. The decision won't have anything to do with the truth. And that's disgusting. Ah, Mac. I was just thinking I probably should finish that story about the FDIC insurance. So the insured junk bonds, that were all the bad mortgages, essentially. So Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae bullshit, all of that stuff went bankrupt, and the only way they could resolve the assets was to essentially guarantee them as stocks, And so there was a bunch of stocks that had no value, and the government just basically said, we'll guarantee the value. And that's what they've insured. And that insurance comes first before the FDIC. So before your assets are insured, those junk bonds are insured. And then the other thing they did was borrow money in the Fed itself. So they basically, the government basically bought its own bonds off the market so they would have value, right? Because somebody had to buy them. Nobody wanted them, so we bought our own. We bought the thing we were selling, okay? And we just said to the banks, we're not going to cash the check, okay? You just write the check. We're good for it. You know, IOU thing. You know, we'll hold the assets in our vault for you, except they won't be in real cash. They'll be in an IOU in the vault. So we just put IOUs in the vault. So there's $5 trillion, of IOUs to the bankers, right? The banksters. Okay, so, and those, they're really obligations. Again, those have to be paid. Because if the banks are stressed and they need their assets, they're going to say, I need the cash. Okay, I got obligations here. You know, got to pay them. You have to pay your debt. And where are we going to come up with $5 trillion? You know, not going to happen. So how are they going to get out of it this time? So that's how they got out of it the last time. So you're talking about $11, $12 trillion worth of fake shenanigans, and you can't, you know, how much of that can you do? You know, where's that going to end? You know, they can't they can't convert the money, the reserves, into all IOUs. Okay, that just won't work. So because then everybody is too big to fail. That means no bank can fail. That means the government's going to have to pay the bills for any bank failure, and they can't. How are they going to do that? Where are they going to get the money? Okay, so you know some creditor isn't going to get their money. Somebody's not going to get paid. Somebody's going to go real bankrupt. All right, so enough of that crap. I mean, you know, these aren't crap subjects, but it's just nobody gives a shit about the real subject. They just want to say something like, you know, the Fed did it or whatever, some kind of crap. They're printing the money. No, they're not printing money. They're printing debt. You know, that kind of thing. But whatever. It's, you know, I've been there and done all that crap, and there's just no point. Because, you know, frankly, the audience is too stupid. You can't really have a conversation. Because, yes, people just are so full of shit in terms of what they think is right or important. Yeah. So, I mean, even the nihilist stuff keeps coming up. You know, somebody's posted a comment on one of my physics videos, and you're just like, oh, come on. you know, defending this idea that somehow we can't figure out that the important thing happening on Earth is organisms squirreling around having feelings. Okay, that's the important thing happening, that they can feel really bad, they can be tortured. That the fact is that torture can happen. That's the real important thing that's happening on Earth. Torture is possible. It makes Earth very different than all the other places in the universe, is the fact that torture can happen here. Yeah. And, you know, to have to argue with people who are sentient, I mean, they actually do have sensations, and they really can't admit, you know, that they'd rather have a cupcake than a nail in their eye. And they'd rather have the cupcake in a really strong way more. I mean, it's not like a little bit more. They'd rather have the cupcake a lot more than the nail in their eye, you know. Like Grand Canyon, whole void, long distance thing, cavern of difference, as I have put it. Get serious. I mean, it's, you know, it's a it's so obviously better to feel good than to feel shitty. And that's all we're playing for here. That's all that's really happening that matters. Everything else, it doesn't really matter whether this is a purple and this is red. This could be red and this could be blue and this could be green. I mean, it doesn't really matter, all this little bullshit, whether the Yankees or the Mets win the World Series or whatever. I don't even know who's playing. All that crap doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what's happening to feeling creatures on Earth. And the problem with human beings is they think they're the only feeling creatures on Earth. And the problem with human beings is a lot of human beings think their kind of human is the only human that matters, and all the other kinds of humans don't make any difference. So it really is not good. I mean, people really are really way off the subject of being alive and human on Earth. I mean, they don't even know, you know, they haven't got any part of that book written right. It's almost like they can't utter a sentence connected to something that would actually be arguable as a truth. And so here I am, you know, explaining, you know, the simple truth, the biological and psychological reality that we're bugs, and compulsive and impulsive bugs, and that the only thing that keeps us from being insanely evil, even so stupid as to be, you know, describable as blight, is the fact that we, you know, yeah, we, you know, we can acquire knowledge of how the game's played, what the gas is, and what the function is, you know, what you're paying for, what you're fueling it with, and what you're getting out of it, and you can figure out the economy of it, and figure out that you're running a deficit, and it's time to, you know, do better than that. Do a lot better than that. Yeah. Anyway, so I'll be back. Yes, just mushing through this video, really. Yeah, don't. It's, you know. So yeah, I guess, you know, the thing to do is I'll have to just start making these videos where I just go step by step again through all this bullshit, but it's just, you know, it's tedious. Alright, so I think I'll throw in a little context. Yeah, maybe. Maybe I will. Alright, so as some of you may know, for the last 10 or 15 years, I've also been making physics videos, and it hasn't gone very well, in the sense that, you know, I'm arguing that some of the physics is really bad. I'm really arguing that all of it's really bad, but anyway. And, you know, there's specific subjects that I have spent maybe the last 2 or 3 years on, maybe 4 now, who knows. And one of them was this idea, you know, physicists have this idea that the faster something's going, that its energy exponentially, you know, quadratically increases. You know, technically, something like the bullet and the recoil of the gun, that somehow the, if we could say that the bullet was a 1 unit of mass going 1,000 units of velocity, the gun would be 1,000 units of mass going 1 velocity, and that somehow the bullet has lots more energy, like 1,000 times more energy. So it can be reduced to something as simple as saying physics believes, they assert, that it takes 25 times the fuel to move something 5 times as fast. So if you're going 10 miles an hour and using a certain amount of fuel, you have to use 25 times that amount of fuel to go 50 miles an hour. And it just gets worse and worse in the sense they say it's 100 times the fuel to go 10 times faster. And it just gets worse and worse, as stated. Now, there's zero evidence, okay? There's just no physical evidence demonstrating this to be true. So they can't show you anywhere where, like, you got a power tool and you push the button and it uses a certain amount of wattage to spin a certain rate, and that if you spin it 5 times as fast, you use any more than 5 times the energy. Not 25 times, just 5 times. But, you know, I said experiment is pretty easy to do, and they haven't even done that. So, because it doesn't prove their point, it proves my point, that this doesn't really happen. So, in 3 years, I've been arguing with people that are supposed to be, intelligent, like they're more educated, like even college educated. And, they have no evidence to support their position, and yet they just keep asserting it is the truth, and that I'm a fool and an idiot for not recognizing the obvious truth that is not proven by a single piece of physical evidence. So they have no physical evidence that it's true, and they just keep defending it. And you're saying, wow. So if you can't even have a rational conversation with people that are reasonably well educated, then what hope is there? I mean, even they are bandwagon riders. They're just compulsively and impulsively defending some position they think is somehow elemental to their worldview or their structure, and they can't admit failure or that it isn't right. Or so it's sort of like the vegetarian argument. I've often said, what's the big deal? All right, you're a meat eater. Is it really a big deal for you just to say, I'm worth it? You're afraid to say the words? Just say it. Just say, okay, I understand. Yeah, physically, I get it. The animals are, I believe in evolution. I recognize the fact that they have many of the same functional senses that we have, that of course they can be tortured. And I just, I don't care. But don't pretend. Don't sit there or just say, look, I feel bad, but, I'm just not, I can't be asked, I can't be arsed. That you're just not going to be, you're not willing to endure the unpleasantness of changing your habits, and just say it's not worth it to you or something. But don't lie and pretend, oh yeah, it's all okay, God said so. Or somehow, oh yeah, nature says that we really were carnivores, that we chased down animals and ate them raw. That was a thing. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it's just, it's such a stupid position to even think that there'd be some possibility that you could survive eating raw animals, that humans could. There's obviously, we don't have any of the mechanisms to stop us from being poisoned. If our ancestors were immune to all of that stuff, we would still be, and we're not. all you got to do is get a little too much gut in your raw meal and you're dead. So it's just so impractical and nonsensical to, make these art, but people do it. So you're sitting there saying, what's the point? One in 1,000 or one in 10,000 is capable of being humiliated, or recognizing that, maybe it's possible I have believed something incorrectly. I've misunderstood. It is a nasty thing, to accept mistakes. But see, that's why it's just always been so easy for me, because I never was on the bandwagon. So I never had a home team. I never had something to invest in. but I still can't even imagine investing in something unproven, undemonstrated by any evidence. Again, why would smart people defend something they can't defend with evidence? They can't defend with a good reasoned argument about how, oh, look, there's no problem. It's absolutely proven by this experiment. Well, just show me the experiment that proves it absolutely, you know. But don't keep telling me I have to believe because you believe, because you're a sucker and a dupe. And that's all they're doing. And that's the part where you're saying, why would an intelligent person involve themselves in something that corrupt, that dishonest? And so that's been very discouraging. So it's been a real learning lesson for me, because I really did think that, sort of like the whole birthing thing, you know, that all you have to do is get people up to a high school education and they're automatically 100 times more civilized, you know, just, you know, women, you know, instead of having 6 kids, they have 2 kids, you know, kind of thing. You know, if they start having kids at 18 versus having kids at 16, just that little difference makes a gigantic difference. And, yeah. So, yeah, so that's sort of the context, as you're saying. Obviously, just talking doesn't work. Explaining, you know. I've done thousands and thousands of videos explaining why I don't believe what you believe, why I do believe that, yes, we evolved here on Earth, that we're not spectacularly different than all the other sentient mammals on this planet. We just are, you know, it's color TV versus black and white or something. I mean, you know, the difference is probably less than that. You know, it's such a nothing difference in terms of the stories we're telling versus the stories every other mammal is experiencing in terms of a struggle and a constant conscious experience of navigating a world and trying to successfully get from today to tomorrow. And they're all involved in it just as passionately and as viscerally, with just as high a stakes in terms of feeling good versus feeling bad. And, you know, nature is against all of us. Nature's just a crude, stupid, ignorant mechanism. And it'll cut you no slack, and it will provide no mercy. And we have to do all that. No. Nature doesn't create fairness and deserve. We can. And that's, you know, that's a really important thing for somebody to understand, is that that's all we are good for, is fixing what's broken. Because we can. We have the tool. And we're the only ones that can use these wrenches and these screwdrivers, and we're the only ones that can do it. The animals can't. Okay? They can't acquire the skill. And we're essentially born with it. And look how poorly we're using it. So that's the other part of it, is that I just see the whole thing as just being, wow, what a defeat of intelligence. So I guess if I had a hero or a bandwagon I would like to ride, it would be the idea that, you know, intelligence and going up this staircase of knowledge and all of that is some, you know, that's my Iwo Jima putting up the flag kind of thing. That's the triumph, is overcoming our animal, our Tyrannosaurus, our bug beginnings, and elevating this function to something grander. And it just has every appearance that, you know, we plateaued in 1970 and it's just going to be all downhill, you know, into idiocracy and squander and waste and just, you know, a stupid gladiator war. So I guess that's the other thing that just bothers me, these little things, you know, like this Netflix thing, this idea of this crude, stupid two men kicking the shit out of each other is somehow grand entertainment. And that itself is just such a pitiful fucking commentary on, you know, what a sick and depraved culture we have. That this is the top-rated TV show. You know, the top-rated entertainment. So, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing to preserve there. That's just the definition of loser. It's just so... I mean, I can't, you know, it's not like I'm being, you know, I don't want to be unfair. I mean, all entertainments are, you know, going to be kind of crude and silly. I mean, you're just saying I can't think about 10 million better shows. You know, a side boob parade. You know, I mean, you know, I something crude and stupid, but geez, it's a lot better than, you know, this nonsense. Why are men horny to watch other men beat the shit out of each other? I mean, why is that a thing? You gotta wonder. Yeah, just with all the other things you could pay people to do, and pay people a lot of money to do, hard to understand. Can't understand it, really, frankly. Just can't do it. So that's just part of, you know, my distance from the common people. You know, the regular people. The normal people. But anyway. So, all right. I'll take one more pause and see if I can finish this up. All right, so I guess what I was saying is sort of like, okay, the physics argument is discouraging. Now, I'm still encouraged in the sense that I still think it's sort of a challenge or a puzzle, a Rubik's Cube kind of thing to figure out how I could possibly fail, okay, to make these arguments and win, because they're just such good arguments and there's just no way I shouldn't be able to successfully persuade reasonably intelligent people when they're doing something just overtly and obviously stupid and ignorant. You know, you should be able to point that out and you should be able to persuade intelligent people. But the fact that I failed to do that discourages me in this argument, because this argument has to be made to people a lot less intelligent. And so if you can't get intelligent people to show any integrity, that is, accept a good argument and recognize that they have to come up with a good counter argument, or they have to, you know, alter their position, at least concede that, their truth isn't all they thought it was, in terms of they're not on as, you know, solid a foundation in what they're arguing as they thought. But, you know, like I said, if you can't have a rational conversation with intelligent people, then, you know, what hope is there? Okay, if I'm going to go to a broader and broader audience and attempt to make even a harder argument in terms of, oh, I'm not just going to be insulting your science. Okay, yeah, no, I'm going to insult you and your lifestyle. And, you know, what hope is there, you know? There's so much more at stake in terms of a person's having to so dramatically alter their worldview, you know, to switch from being an exploitonist, with a gigantic blood footprint, and to somebody with less of a blood footprint. it takes courage and it's unpleasant, to alter your habits and to concede that you're not entitled to something, like I said, even if it altered somebody's perception in some sort of romantic way, you know, where they thought, where, you know, previously they just thought about getting the pussy and they didn't really think about, well, how will I fuck up their her life? I mean, should I lie to her and should I pretend to be somebody I'm not and do all this other crap so I just create a bunch of disappointment in the end? And maybe they'll think about that and say, yeah, no, I don't really have a right to fuck up somebody else's life because I'm horny. That kind of thing. But who knows? All right, so popped in my head is the other problem here is this isn't a win-win thing. You know, I'd like to be able to say that becoming a good person and a decent person is fun and enjoyable and it makes everything just great. No. You know, and feeling guilty, you know, nagging yourself with some sense of responsibility and all that stuff, having integrity is not fun. It's, you know, it's a pain in the ass. And it just gets in your comfortable way in a lot of ways. So it's, you know, it's sort of like, I don't know what to compare it to. You don't want to overdo it and, you know, compare it to being a good soldier. You know, because, yeah, being one of the best soldiers isn't going to be a fun job. And, you know, it's not like that. But, I mean, it is worrying and caring and all that kind of stuff and thinking about and contemplating and, ooh, imagining, you know, being triggered. Having a brain that stores that kind of thing, you know, those kind of events. I mean, my brain has stored of an event. There was a, you know, I was working for somebody, and some guy who's going to do some work at the house, okay, showed up, like, with some other people. I don't remember what it was for. I don't remember what kind of contractor he was. But anyway, the guy, you know, he had cancer, and a big part of his face had been removed. So he had no nose, you know, and it, everything was really bad, you know. And, you know, I just opened the door and bang, this guy is standing there with this face that looks like somebody just blew it up. You know, you're just, you know, you're shocked and, you know, what ran through my head is, you know, what courage this guy has not to care. But by the same token, it's also way too shocking. You can't just do this to people. You just can't show up at the door with your face blown off. And, you know, it's a little harsh. So, you know, maybe you should wear, you know, a mask or something, and then you can take it off when the person's comfortable and you're comfortable. Something. It just seemed like, ugh, you know. But anyway, so I have the, you know, a brain that just says, okay, this is one of those things that my brain remembers, and it's going to, because it's, I didn't know how to act. I didn't know how to deal with it. And there's no way to deal with it. It's the whole problem. There's no right answer there. The guy shouldn't even be working. You know, it's like there's so much to say about even the idea that, oh, shit, you know, human beings will put up with this. I mean, their life is so precious, you know, that you can blow their face off and they'll still go to work. You know, I mean, just how bad it must have been, the experience going through all that. I mean, all those thoughts are not pleasant. And again, you know, if it was 50 years ago, I would have just let the event slide right by, and that would have been it. It would have been nothing. It wouldn't be a trigger now. It just floats around in my head as a concept that I can connect to so many different subjects and so many different ideas, and most of them related to my character and just recognizing, you know, the fact that, you know, my first reaction is, what the fuck? You know, why are you imposing this on me? You know, when, you know, my first reaction, well, there's no way to change that first reaction, I don't think. because it's just so distracting. You know, it's so, it just breaks the mood, right? I mean, you really can't be concentrating on what you're concentrating on when that's thrown in front of you. It's like somebody getting, I don't know, if he actually had gotten shot at the front door. I mean, I couldn't just pretend, oh, somebody didn't just get shot at the front door. They're not bleeding, you know. I mean, you can't just, you know, pretend it away. But anyway, so that's the price you pay, though, right? Is, okay, I now have a psychology that's seeking to find flaws in myself and flaws in the system. And there's just nothing pleasant about that, you know, because they're deep and hard, and it's ugly place to have to be psychologically. Ugly, you know, in more than one way. So anyway, just threw that in as just some sort of maybe an example of, you know, how the life I lived at 20 is different than the life I'm living now, because my brain is so much more aware of, you know, not a single player game, you know, you know, there's more going on than just my life, and all of it has to be accounted for, and you know, there's a lot to account for. And like I say, some of it just scares the hell out of me, that, you know, what people are willing to endure, to cling. And maybe, you know, who knows? I haven't been tested yet, you know. Who knows? You know, dying's not easy. If you could just snap your fingers, well, then it would be easy, you know. Okay, I have the courage today. I can snap my fingers. Now, pulling the trigger on a gun is almost, you know, almost snapping your fingers, but it's just not quite. You know, and I've sort of pointed this out before. The only thing that really kept me alive in the past was I felt entitled to a graceful exit. You know, they threw me into this silly place, and I should just be able to find a place where it says exit over the door and just walk through. I shouldn't have to do anything. I shouldn't have to jump through any hoops to get out. I didn't ask to be here. I did, you know, none of that stuff. I didn't buy a ticket. And it should be even easier to get out than it was to get in. But anyway. And it's just a point of, you know, those things you feel entitled. I mean, I feel entitled not to be tormented by other people's silly notions of life loving. Anyway, I'm gonna call that a video. Okay, it's a little bit of a mess, but. I'll work on it, right? You know, I keep saying I'll work on it, but, you know, it is a work in progress. I could say that. Like I said, it's just that it is clear that it's really not about the arguments. This is a psychological battle, and I'm not willing to play the game, and that's the bad part. Is that I don't really want to do psychology. I don't want to worm my way in, you know. I don't want to dig a hole through your toenail and, you know, dig my way into your brain in some sneaky way. But truth is, it's, you know, it might be the only way the argument can be won. Well, we'll see. So, till the next time and such. And we'll see what other tactic I can apply. Yeah, what other, something besides, ramble. We'll try that, maybe. But we'll see. I know, there's no point in me saying it. You know, there's really... I mean, I could put it to music, you know, make some sort of musical, but I'm not going to do that. It's not going to happen, I don't think. All right, anyway, so till the next time and such.